Sister Hannah, for the songs we heard tonight, and I just really appreciated those. And I know it's a sacrifice sometimes, but we sure do appreciate it. We really do. And I love how both of them sing from their heart and play from their heart. And you know, I can get pleasure out of that. I want to speak to you tonight on spiritual warfare. How many knows we're in a battle?
Yeah.
Right. Amen. We're in a battle, and you know what? We're not alone. You know, we got a mission, and I want to accomplish my mission. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Shall I have these on the multimedia for us? Let's just read this in the name of the Lord. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling to the pulling down of strongholds. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I'd like to read just one quote before we pray. He says, I've never seen a person too low yet, or I've never seen a person too far in sin yet. I've never seen a woman to stoop or a man to stoop to, but that I would not go to him, put my arms around him, and bring him out of that if I can. I've never seen a bunch of holy rollers, or whatever you want to call them, rooting and jumping and hollering or whatever they might do, but what I'd get right in there and root and jump and holler with them to glorify God. That's exactly right. Whether he's black, yellow, brown, white, whatever he might be, yes, sir. The Holy Ghost comes on one level. That's you meet God's requirement. If you ever get it, you'll come on God's level and not your own thoughts about it. Satan tries to make it classical, some great somethinging, some great big something intellectual. You have to cast that down in reasoning and believe what the Word says about it. Amen. And that's from question and answers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And we thank you for this opportunity for us to be together in your name. We just ask you that you will bless the word tonight, Lord. Bless the service. Help me not to say anything out of cater, Lord, but just be submissive to you and just be an instrument for you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And I want to go to another scripture. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. Again, she'll have these on here. Multimedia says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You know, we must walk in the Spirit. And our flesh will naturally desire to walk according to the world and what feels good to the flesh. And our flesh will automatically desire to be comfortable. Who likes to be comfortable? Amen. Amen, we do. Our flesh will desire to go the easy way, and we know that most of the time the easy way is the wrong way.
That's right.
You know, and when you take up your cross to follow the Lord, it's not easy. That's why they say take up a cross. That's you know, right. We sing that song, take up your cross, and that sounds really good, but in reality, to take up your cross and carry it, it's a hard thing.
That's right.
You know, it's a hard way, and you must fight to possess every ground that the Lord has given you to possess. And just another quote real quickly, Brother Brown says, he says, I remember one time I was reading this story where Caesar was going to make a great parade and many was going to follow him. And there he was sitting on his chair just riding down the street. And when they did, he stopped over there and he said, I want all my officers tomorrow to meet me here. I want one honorable man to ride by my side in the great parade tomorrow. And all the officers, they trimmed their plumes, they polished their shields and everything. They fixed their big tags and them and so forth. And they was passing by Caesar, each one. Oh, this is popping quite a bit. Get this a little better. And they was passing Caesar, which one of them, with a big plume, walking straight and sturdy, passing by. Caesar looked at them and sitting there. And after a while, a little old doughboy, one of those little footmen, came by. And he was all cut and scratched and scarred and bruised. He passed by. He just bowed his head and started to run off. He felt so embarrassed standing before the great emperor, and he started to run away. And directly the emperor said, wait a minute. He said, who are you? He said, come here. He said, yes, my lord.
He walked up to him and he fell down like that and he raised up. He said, "My, you're cut up awful." He said, "Where'd you get all them scars and things?" He said, "Out on the battlefield fighting for my Lord." He said, "You climb up here and sit down. You're the one that deserves it. Enough about the DDDs. I want to show you. I want to show some marks of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ when I stood forward." Yes, sir. This was a man. He wasn't a great leader or a great captain. This was a foot soldier.
Right.
This is like a common housewife. This is like a mom or a dad. This is like a teenage boy that's saying, "You know what? I'm just trying to find who I am in this world and what God has called me to be." Yeah. And you know, in the midst of this foot soldier being in battle for his Lord, he got scarred up. He got cut up. He had damage in his life. But the way he got that damage is he was trying to live for God.
Right.
You know, so many times, brother and sister, a mom, a dad, a young teenage boy or a teenage girl, you're trying to walk the right way, but sometimes you're on the battlefield and you get scarred, you get cut, you get hurt, you get discouraged sometimes.
Right.
You say amen? We're on a battlefield and there will be times of discouragement. And this foot soldier was actually ashamed of himself to look at his scars. But you know what? That's the one Christ died for.
Right.
God died for you. So whenever you are, when you have the scars and you fall on your face and you feel like you absolutely blew it.
Right.
Right.
Pick yourself back up.
Amen.
Because you know what? Whenever you feel like you blew it and you fall on your face and you're like, "How did I do this?" Now you got a scar on yourself and you don't even want to look at the Lord.
Yeah.
"Lord, I fell. But how did you fall?" Because I was trying to stand for my Lord. I wasn't trying to be a bad person. I was trying to do the right things. But you know what? We have an enemy.
Right.
And that enemy will trip somebody. And you know, when you see somebody in the natural, see somebody trip somebody, you think, and you see the person fall, you have extra compassion for that person that fell.
Right.
Because you see they tripped. That man tripped them. That's why they fell in the mud. That's how they got hurt. And that's exactly the way it is with our brothers and sisters. That's exactly the way it is with the mom, the dad, the daughter, the son. That's exactly how whenever they fall, it's because there is a devil that's seeking whom they may devour.
Right.
There's a devil that's constantly bombarding, and trying to bring you humility of when you fall. But listen to me, when you fall, get back up.
Amen.
Because you're the one, when you get back up, you're the one that he wants to ride in his chariot.
Amen.
Amen. God wants you to ride in it. No woman wants to be a bad mom. No more than any man wants to be a bad dad or a young boy wants to be a bad son or a daughter. Nobody goes to the nunnery to be a bad person. You know, they, from the depths of their heart, they want to be right. They want to serve God with the best of their ability. But you know what? There's a devil. And we know that God gives a provided way. But brother and sister, we have to remember we are on a battlefield. And try to listen to what I'm trying to say through this message. Through the noise, through the shakes, through the bombs, through all these things. Listen to what the voice is trying to speak to you tonight, okay?
Amen.
Because you know what? When you're in the middle of a battlefield, emotions aren't there. Me and Brother Tony were talking about that just a few minutes ago.
Right.
Emotions are awesome. And without any emotions, you're dead. But you know what? There's sometimes there ain't a lick of emotions. And all you got at that time, brother and sister, is faith. That's whenever you can't feel anything, you can't see nothing, but you know what? I know in the vision, I know on the battlefield, whenever we had our trainings and of all our trainings with all the soldiers and all of our leaders, we said, this is the plan, this is the battle plan. Whenever the bombs start happening, it don't matter, we don't change the plan, we stay with the plan. And that's exactly, God gave us the battle plan of this word. And whenever things start happening, you don't change the plan. Stay with the plan.
Right.
Because reinforcements will come.
Amen.
At the appropriate time. But what you got to do is you got to hold your stronghold. You got to hold your ground. You got to hold the allotment, the responsibility that's been given to you individually. Every one of us has an allotment that we are responsible for. And when God is counting on us to stand in the commission that he's called us to be in.
Right.
God's counting on me, yes, because God has ordained you to be his vessel in this hour that God can conquer through you.
Amen.
right. That means each individual person has a lot of ground, their responsibility, and they need me to be in my position at my 100% capacity. Because if I'm not doing it, someone else is suffering. Mm-hmm. I don't want someone else suffering because of I'm slacking.
That's right.
I want to do my part. Amen?
Amen.
I believe you do too. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and the witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of great a ready mind. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger." So we're talking about the ministry. Feed the flock. This is how you do it. Okay. Now look what he's saying. He said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." See, no, that means the elder can be doing his job, but if the younger is not submitting to the elder, you are hindering the program.
Right.
God's got a program to where you can overcome in your battlefield.
Amen.
And the battlefield, the battle plan don't change. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with" what? "Humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, if you look at this word of talking about to be sober, that comes from the word napho. And that means of uncertain affinity, to abstain from wine, to keep sober. That is figuratively to be discreet, to be sober, to watch. And the word vigilant comes from Gregoro. I guess that's how you say that. Gregoro. Gregoro. Put all that together. I'm a hillbilly. But it means to keep awake, that is, watch literally, figuratively, to be vigilant, to be awake, to watch. Satan will try to get us drunken with the cares of this life. And when a person is drunk, they become careless. They are inconsiderate of others' feelings. They are numb to common sense. They have a loss of memory. They make a fool of themselves. They become full of regrets. It attracts certain crowds while it deflects the others.
Right.
Yeah. Drunk people like to hang around drunk people, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're sober, you don't want to be around someone who's drunk. They will drive you insane.
Right.
There's a good kind of drunk too. You know, you get drunk in the Lord, and you get drunk in the Lord, other people that's drunk in the Lord, they'll want to get with you too. So there's two different ways you can look at that, right?
Yeah.
But we're talking about someone that's drunk in the cares of life, drunk with this world, drunk with Laodicea. You become careless. You lose your memory. You make a fool of yourself. You become full of regrets. You begin to do things you wish you would have never done. I wish I'd have never said that. So many drunkards, the day after they're drunk, they say, "I'm so sorry. I'll never drink again. I'm so sorry." I remember when my stepdad, he would do that. My mom would play the songs that would just break his heart and make him cry all day long, you know, just to guilt him to death. But guilt don't do nothing. Conviction will get you somewhere.
Yeah.
If you guilt somebody, it just makes them feel like a bad person. They already know they're a bad person, but they need someone to reach down and pick them up.
Okay.
Amen? But we're talking about this is the way the devil wants to. He wants to make you drunk. But we're commanded to be sober. Sober yourself. And to be vigilant is the opposite of drunken. To be vigilant is to be aware of your surroundings. It's to be aware of the situation. It means to be conscious of what's happening around you. It's to be focused. It's to be up and at it.
Yeah.
brother and sister. I want to be vigilant about my position that God's given me as a son of God. No matter what position you have in a church, I want to be vigilant. Let's be vigilant at no matter what your position is in this church. You may say, I don't sing, I don't play guitar, I don't do that. Listen to me, what I'm saying. You must be vigilant in the position that God has called you to be in. You have an allotment before you that you are responsible for. That means whenever you've got to prepare your heart before the service, you're praying just as diligently as this person is going to be playing an instrument. You want to be just as diligent as the minister that's going to preach. You want to be just as diligent because that is your ground on this battlefield during that service. And it's not just in the service, it's on your daily walking. That's the most important part of it, where you are walking diligently because I've got a position. I'm a son of God. I've got a part to play in this. I don't just ride on the cart while certain other people, they're the real crowd. No, you're the crowd. You're the person. You're the one God called. God called you for a purpose where you hold your ground. Because if you're not, if you are not being vigilant, if you're not seeking God, and I was reading the quote so many times where people say, Brother Branham, how can I love God more? How can I be more successful? You know what his answer steadily kept in? Pray and read your Bible. Pray and read your Bible. Pray and read your Bible. Brother and sister, that is your key to victory in this battlefield. No matter what you're going through, pray and read your Bible. Communicate with God. Lord, I need your help. Show me your word. Show me to stay with it. Because this word, when you're going down a stream, that stream will carry you every different direction. You've got to have a rock in the middle of that stream. When you're crossing this stream, you may be pushing everywhere, but if there's a rock in the middle of that stream, you grab a hold of that rock. Because that rock ain't going nowhere. And listen to me, we've been given a rock in this age. He's a rock of ages all down the ages, brother and sister. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all down the ages, no matter what stream was coming at them, they had to grab onto the rock of their hour, of their day.
Amen.
And God don't move, brother and sister. Amen? I want to hold my ground. You've got a ground that you are responsible. We are on a spiritual warfare. I want to hold my ground. I want you to hold your ground. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. In Proverbs 29:18, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So whether there's constructing a building or it's fulfilling a dream of a person, if it's winning a war, there must be a vision to succeed.
Right.
You've got to have a vision. You can't just say, well, I'm going to go out here and conquer. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get there. You're probably not going to win the war. I want to have this build a successful business. How are you going to do it? I don't know. I'm just going to try it. See how it goes. You probably won't succeed. You know, God has a plan of redemption. And he didn't just say, you know, I'll just figure it out when I get there.
Right.
God had the battle plan laid out already.
Amen.
And brother and sister, we ain't got to try to figure out our own way. We don't have to find our own blueprint. Let's go with his blueprint.
Amen.
Let's go with what he said because he's already laid out the battle plan. And say, God, because you know, as I said earlier, you don't change the battle plan when things start getting hard. That's where the denominations missed it. It's because they began to get scared thinking God won't fulfill his word. God will fulfill his word. We don't have to change to have a growth,
right.
A change to have life.
Right.
You do, you have death. We got to follow the battle plan that God laid out in the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Because if we do that, the vision is what will be. Without a vision, the people will perish. And we must keep our eyes on this vision, brother and sister.
Amen.
Because you know what? Whenever we're talking about being vigilant, if you are vigilant, that means you're constantly keeping your eyes. Whenever in the book of Joshua, he said, you stay behind that pillar of fire. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. You stay right with it.
Amen.
Be vigilant. Now forgive me for adding scripture to the word, adding to the word, but I believe that's what he's saying. Be vigilant with what I'm doing in your midst. Amen?
Yeah.
Because if you get drunken, you're going to get careless. You're going to forget. You're going to forget what God's doing in your midst. You're going to forget about the power of God. You're going to forget God does these things. You're going to forget about who you are. We got to be vigilant and be sober.
Amen.
Lord, help me to be sober toward your word.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. During the times of discouragement, we must keep our eyes on the vision. Times of discouragement will come. We have an enemy that is motivated to discourage our confidence in the vision. And Satan's aim is to bring conflict in the unity. And I want you to grab hold of what I'm trying to say here. Satan is motivated to bring conflict in unity. Satan will conquer. He will do his best. He is motivated to bring complexes into the hearts of people to where he will think people are thinking bad things about you. He'll put these thoughts in your mind where he will bombard your mind where you will fully have a full picture of thinking, brother, this brother hates my guts and can't stand me. This sister hates my guts and can't stand me. They're talking about me over here and they ain't nothing but the lie of the devil.
That's, right.
That's all it is, brother and sister.
Yeah.
And what is it? That devil is trying to bring complexes inside the church, complexes inside the family. What's he trying to do? He's trying to break the unity. But listen to me, we must keep our eyes on that vision of what this word is of saying, you know what, I'm a son of God. And even if our brother and our sister fall down, as the prophet said, I ain't never seen a man or a woman that stooped so low that I would not go to him. And I love how he said, wrap my arms around him and pull him out of that. Lord, help us to have that kind of love and compassion toward one another. To where when we see our brother and sister fall flat on their face, may we say, Satan, get behind me, because that's not my brother.
That's
not my sister. I know who they are, and the way they acted right there, that's not them. Satan, get behind me. And pick your brother back up. Wrap your arms around him. And show him you love him. Amen? I believe he was anointed when he said that, those words, exactly the way that was. Satan's goal is to get the people's eyes off the vision. Esau became drunkened with the cares of life when he sold his birthright. If he would have been vigilant, brother, if he would have been sober, he would have been aware of what he was doing. But because the man was drunken with the cares of this life, he was drunken, let me say it this way, drunken with Laodicea, he sold out his birthright.
Right.
Afterwards, the morning after the drunkenness,
Then
he said, oh God, look what I did. He sat it diligently with tears. Oh God, please help me, Lord. He sought it diligently, but listen to me, the damage was already done. There's going to be a foolish virgin, brother and sister. The day after the rapture, they're going to seek it diligently with tears, but it'll be too late. It's because they're drunken with Laodicea. Laodicea will make you careless, forgetful. It'll make you to where people, you won't want to be around other people. Amen. I don't want to be that way. I want to be vigilant with God's word.
Amen.
I want to be whenever. So if you get around somebody, certain people, they'll drain the life out of you. I don't want to be that. Lord, forgive me if I become that. I don't want to be that. I want people to feel energized when they leave my presence.
Right.
Not because of me, because of him.
Right.
Because he's the one that does it. It's not the holy mountain. It's the holy God on the mountain. It's not a holy people. It's a holy God in the people. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So Esau, he was walking in the flesh, and when man is walking in the flesh, with man walking in his flesh by himself, he is just a beast. And a beast will always try to satisfy himself.
That's right.
As we've heard Brother Tony said many times, I believe Brother the prophet even said it, talking about a man and a beast nature will ravish a woman.
That's right.
Because it's a beast. It's a beast nature. Because all he wants to do is please himself. That is contrary to the Lamb.
Right.
Because the lamb is a dove nature. You know, a dove is a heavenly bird, and a lamb is a earthly bird, an earthly animal. It's two gentle natures.
That's right.
And that dove nature will only come down on a lamb nature. But if it's a wolf nature, it will go take a flight. Listen, it's so important we catch what I'm trying to say here in the midst of what I'm talking about. Satan will try so hard to bring a wolf nature about you to where when the Holy Ghost desires to come into your midst, that you will grieve the Holy Spirit away.
Right.
Brother, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to want to be in my life.
Amen.
I want to conduct myself. But the Holy Spirit will not stay around a wolf nature. And a wolf nature, brother, sister, is you know, Brother Branham said, if you speak bad about your brother behind their back, you're killing their influence. It's like sticking a knife in their back.
Right. Yeah.
These words, we want to use these words as edification, where we build up our brother and our sister. You know, in Vietnam War, we were killing our own men because we were not recognizing who our enemy was. Listen, we have one common enemy. It is not our brother and sister. It's not our mom and our dad. It's not our preacher. It's not our deacon. It's the devil.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
It's the devil.
Amen.
And we must realize that is our enemy, and we've got a unity that God is calling for. And
Amen.
God's unity will always be under divine love, and it'll always go back to the Word.
Right.
Amen. I want that love nature, that Lamb nature, where His Holy Spirit will feel welcome, where His Holy Spirit will want to be in my midst. And I'm just going to say this real quick. It's just like the little woman that knew the prophet was going to be coming by the house, and she had them build the room. What was it? And she put a candlestick in there. What was she doing? She was creating something that would attract the prophet. She was creating an environment that would be attractive to Him. And brother and sister, that's what we want in our life, in our home, in our relationships. We want to conduct it in such a way that it will welcome the prophet.
Right.
That it will welcome the Holy Spirit. Because it's not the man, it's God that worked in the man.
Right.
Anyone's listening on the internet, I know you here in front of me know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But it's not when they were worshiping a man. That man was a yielded vessel that God worked through. And because you when you yield through that, it's how you treat a friend of the prophet gets the gift of a prophet.
Right.
We want to. That's why you want to conduct yourself in such a way to where the Holy Spirit will want to stop at your house.
Amen.
Amen. Because we're talking about a spiritual warfare. In the midst of the spiritual warfare, in the midst of the battle that we're in right now, because you're going to have wins. How many is in battles? Sure, we're in battles. But see, in the midst of these battles, we can conduct ourselves, or we can have a Lamb nature in the midst of a dynamic battle.
Right.
It seems absolutely impossible. With man, it is.
Right.
With man, it is impossible to walk with a Lamb nature in the midst of Laodicea.
Right.
But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Whenever we yield with Him, because we are not depending on ourselves, we are yielding to Him according to His battle plan. Because God's Word shows us how to do it, how we must yield to His Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We're getting real close to the end, okay? So we're talking about how a beast will serve himself.
Right.
A beast nature will serve himself. Now let's look at this in 1 John 3:16. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwell the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him." I really like that scripture. I'm going to read that again. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us."
Amen.
I love that scripture.
Amen.
Amen. His Spirit will desire the Word.
Right.
It's whenever you're hungering for the Word. Why are you hungering for the Word? It's His Spirit.
Right.
It is His Spirit inside you. Why are you at church on a Wednesday night? Because His Spirit inside you wants the Word. See, the devil wants to make you think you don't have God. You're defeated. You're this. You're worthless. No, you've got the Holy Spirit inside your heart that wants to hear God's Word.
Right.
It wants to praise God. That's God. Amen.
Amen.
Because we're in a spiritual warfare. Amen. So to walk with the Spirit will be to walk with the Word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. And let's go to one more scripture. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. And if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now that it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find none. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. When I first read that scripture as a teenager, I was like, what in the world am I reading? I'm like, goodness. Then I walk with the Lord and I'm like, I know what he's talking about now. To make it more simpler, I want to do these things, and I don't want to do these things, but I find myself doing these things and not doing the things I would do.
Right.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Right.
I want to do these things, but I'm doing these things. I don't want to do these things, but I'm doing these things. It's just back and forth. Brother and sister, we're on a battlefield.
Right.
He said, because, oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from the bondage? Because this guy right here has a sticky nature. This guy right here is your worst enemy. This guy right here will fill you full of complexes. It'll fill you with all kinds of stuff right there. But brother and sister, we got to feed that inner man. Amen?
Amen?
I'm going to read the last part, and then we'll be done, okay? Catch this last part, Brother Brother says. He says, you are an outward man, which is controlled by six senses. You are an inward man, controlled by one sense, which is faith. And this faith disagrees with all six senses if the six senses doesn't agree with faith. But one is contrary to the other. Now, as long as the six senses agree with the faith, wonderful. But when the six senses disagree with faith, then leave the six senses alone. Now, for instance, here Jesus made a statement, a promise. The inside man says that's true. The outside man reasons that it can't be true to you. Then ignore the outside man and accept the inside man. Now, that's the same thing that Paul's speaking of. He was sold under the law to carnal sin. Every one of us is the same. That's the reason we have the troubles we do of married four or five times and this and that and all kinds of sin and adulteries and everything else along in our lives is because of the things we are carnal that part must perish. But then the inside, we are a spirit man. A soul inside, and that's faith in God's word. Then we bring our outside body under subjection to the word by faith, by accepting what God said. How can I take a coca burr and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be is because inside that coca burr has been transmitted from a coca burr wheat, a coca burr to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that coca burr and it'll produce a grain of wheat. That's right. See, because there has been a lot of wheat put in the coca burr. And the life of the coca burr has been taken out, but the nature of the coca burr is still sticky. See? And it will be until this new life has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up again. And when it comes forth, then it's no more coca burr, but wheat. But while it's here on earth, out on the earth, and a coca burr is still sticky, but it's got the nature of, on the inside of it, of wheat. Can you say amen for yourself? And as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ, and all the sin is gone from you. See, that's the thing.
Amen.
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 And I'm done.
We have on the outside, we got a cucumber nature. He's sticky. But on the inside, we've got a wheat nature.
Amen.
And on the inside of you, that's the real you. And this right here will always, it's going to lead you to the word every time.
Amen.
But this guy out here will try to, he will fight you every step of the way.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what I want to leave you with as Brother Tony can pray to come. If you don't mind, remember this outside flesh. This guy right here, brother and sister, he is your greatest hindrance on this battlefield.
Amen.
This guy right here. And it's so interesting how the Holy Spirit has been speaking through Brother Tony along the same thing. But praise the Lord. I want us to just bow our heads. If you don't mind, let's just ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people tonight, Lord. And I just pray that I said everything according to the way you would want it to be said, Lord. And Lord, that maybe not tonight, they don't catch it all, but maybe in the coming days, Lord, they'll chew on the things that were spoken by you, Lord, tonight. And Lord, I'm seeing, Lord, that they are a weak plant, Lord. But we have got a flesh of a cucumber, and this old flesh guy, he will try to make us drunken with the cares of this life. It'll try to make us careless. It'll try to make us all think. But Lord, help us to be vigilant in Jesus' name. We love you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Said any better.
Amen.
I was telling someone today, I tell a guy at work today, I said, you know, where the Spirit of God goes, he goes to his own body.
Amen.
Amen. He goes to his own body. Amen. Have you ever watched a professional, whatever they are, professional bricklayer, professional carpenter, professional whoever, whatever, guitar player? They know it. They've done it so much. They know exactly where. They don't even have to look. They just grab their tools, put them. I mean, they're just guitar player. Don't even have somebody's good. Don't even have to look.
Right.
Right. I believe the Lord wants us to be like that as a Christian.
Amen.
Right. No matter what. Don't even have to look. You just serve God. You just know right how to respond because you've done it for so long.
Amen.
Right. All natural type spiritual.
Amen.
So I believe we can be that. And so,
amen.
And you know, they have something called muscle memory. Causes that to be that way. So, yeah, the other day I mentioned Brother Angel said something tonight about being subject to one another, and that's what I was talking about last week when I said we have a responsibility to each other,
yes.
to treat one another, and to, you know, and so that's what he's talking about tonight.
Yes.
We have, and the scripture says it there, right, to be subject one to another. And so I really appreciate those things. He said, read your Bible and pray, right? Read your Bible and pray. How many ever has trouble waking up at night and had trouble going back to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the hands.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you how to defeat that.
Uh-huh. It's true.
Pray.
Yeah.
Read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You do that and the devil will stop trying to keep you up. You know what I'm saying? It's like he won't mess with that because that's, you know, that's exactly right. But if you're like me, you'll lay there for an hour. Just your mind's going. You'll be thinking about things maybe, but...
Yeah.
Get up and pray. Just do something.
Amen.
Amen. So that's really good. You know, we don't want to snarl at the Holy Spirit. That's what Brother Bram said. When the Holy Spirit would try to come down on a wolf and that wolf would growl at him or something like that. And you can do that. We can do things in such a way that the Holy Spirit says, it's not the environment he wants to come to. You know, I want the Lord to be willing to come dwell with me,
yes.
With you. Amen. And so we just certainly want to mind our actions. He talked about being a friend of the prophet. You know, I think I was listening to Brother Bram today, and he said, you know, Elijah was really Christ. It was just the Spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Just the Spirit of Christ working through Elijah in a certain pattern or whatever. But if a prophet is a prophet, that's Christ. And, you know, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward.
Yeah.
I always wondered what that was, and Brother Rim said, is to be a friend with a prophet because it might come in handy.
Yeah.
Right? And so if the prophet's really Christ being expressed, just to be a friend, it'll come in handy, right?
Right.
Amen. And so he did for the, when Elijah went to the woman there, and she was having to, was going to eat and die, her and her son, you know, helped her. So we want to be a friend of the prophet, definitely. Even Brother Daniel was talking about your flesh I did the same thing, brother. I read that. I'm like, what in the world is that talking about? And it's all it's saying is that as a born-again Christian, inside you is the desire to serve God 24/7.
Right.
In your flesh, there's a flesh nature.
Yeah.
Is a desire to be contrary to God 24/7. That's all it means.
Yeah.
And once you realize you're a Christian, and yet you can see those things working in your life, trying to do those things, trying to make you do what you don't want to do, then Paul said, if I do that, you know, that's not right, it's not me.
Right.
Right.
It's the flesh.
Yes.
So it's not you. If you've got the born-again experience and you make a mistake, that's not you, and it's not lauded to you,
that's
says
right.
the prophet.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? I've been thinking the last day or two that we need to be renewed in the thankfulness
yes.
of what God has done. I was telling a man today, he's an engineer working with me, and he's been coming back, and he needs my time. And I'm like, well, if we're going to do something today, we better get it done, because I'm going to be off tomorrow and Friday, and I won't go back till Tuesday. And you know, and he's like, well, you're going on vacation, or you know, they'll ask you stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to tell him, because I always take off Thursday before Good Friday. And as the weekend goes through, I may be doing something, work, whatever. But in my mind, I'm rehearsing where Jesus is.
Yeah.
On Friday morning, 9 o'clock, here's where he's at. You know, and I'm in my mind the whole weekend, him going through that trial the night before, being with the disciples, going through that trial, and going and hanging on the cross all through the weekend. I'm playing that in my mind.
Right.
And I told that man today, I said, I do that. It's a thankfulness to what he did for me.
Yeah.
Amen. Not saying anybody else has to do that, but I do that because I am thankful that he did those things.
Yeah.
And so, amen. I really appreciate what Brother Ennis shared
yeah,
with us
yeah.
tonight. There is a channel of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's no question about that. And it pleases us to know that we have enough favor with God that he would come do that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to Psalm, I think it's Psalm 270. Hope it is. That's right. You thought you was going to get out just being easy and not having to move. So let's close down. Let's see.